This is Juno Afternoon. I'm Rhonda McBride. Our next guest wears a lot of hats in the school district here in Juneau. Kristen Garreau is principal of the Montessori Borealis School with students from K through 8th grade, also principal of the Alternative High School, and oversees the Homebridge homeschooling program. Well, Kristen, we want to thank you for being here with us today to share all those different perspectives. But, I just wonder how in the world you juggle all those responsibilities.
Just do what I can.
Well, I mean, you are certainly seeing things from different perspectives, different age groups, kids with different challenges. And maybe let's start off with the alternative school, because I think a lot of people worried during this year of COVID that there would be a lot of emotional problems, a lot of challenges in working with kids because they would be hurt, especially by that lack of one-on-one contact.
Yeah, for sure. I had that same concern going into the school year and looking at starting last spring when we suddenly were doing all virtual learning for all of our students. I definitely shared that same concern and was pleasantly surprised this year with not only kind of the resilience of our students, but also the work how they responded to all the really hard work of our staff in reaching out and making extra connections with students to help them feel that connection, even if they weren't able to be physically present together.
You know, with school kind of being a hybrid scenario at times between home and in person, do you think that maybe parents developed an appreciation for teachers? I mean, we should always appreciate our teachers, but do you think after this year that there's a difference in the relationship?
I do. I think definitely, and I saw this maybe a little bit more with my elementary students and families because kids needed more help from their parents to do school. And so parents got to see a little bit more of what happens, how school happens, and had that hands-on opportunity. I think it was also really powerful for us at the school side to see families. And we got to see that all, you know, pre-K through the high school students that we work with and get to see what life is like for them at home through the Zoom screen. And, you know, we got to see their pets with them and we got to see who all is around and who's helping them. It was really a really great experience. Both, I think parents maybe got some more appreciation for school and teachers, but also I think teachers got to see families and get some more appreciation and understanding of their families that they're working with. It was great.
You know, I think of these sci-fi movies and you see kids, you know, 1,000 years into the future, right, on spaceships, getting classes from Earth or somewhere. And it all just seems so wonderfully high tech and so smooth. But is the virtual world kind of an illusion that there's true intimacy? And intimacy,
you know,
that's needed for education.
Right. I think really in that situation, it depends on the combination of people that you have. Because I think that there were opportunities to create that this year, even through the virtual, in that virtual way, where connections, honest, really genuine connections were made and nurtured and sustained in the virtual realm. I do think that happened. I think for some students, though, it was harder to have that connection with their teachers or with, you know, they're trusted adults at school through the virtual lens. But I definitely think it did happen for some students. So it's an interesting mix of those things. Because I think.
So what about your at-risk students at the alternative school? Did you do anything extra to kind of be sure they would be okay during this?
Yeah, so we took the opportunity to kind of rethink what our schedule looked like in general. And instead of having all of our classes every day and having a really busy Zoom schedule, we thought it would be maybe better to have fewer classes focusing on at one time. So we had longer classes, but fewer classes going on at one time. And so I think that really helped our students. So they weren't going from one Zoom to the next, to the next, to the next, and kind of getting lost in the Zooms. I think that helped us. And then also we took the chance to do more advisory meetings with our students. And those were oftentimes just fun things to do together. Whole school Zoom games that happened, and opportunities to have fun connections with each other. So we did that more often, which was a lot of work for our staff because it takes a lot of energy to do that kind of thing. But I think it really paid off for our students.
So it really stretched your creativity as educators.
I think it did. Yeah, I think we saw that district-wide. People had to get really creative in maintaining those connections, for sure.
So with your Homebridge program, how many people do you typically have in the Homebridge program in a year, and what happened after COVID?
Yeah, it was definitely an interesting transition. In a typical year, we usually have about 35 students in Homebridge. And this last fall, after the spring, kind of everything going online and then people wondering what's going to happen and uncertainty with the start of the school year, we blossomed into 435 students.
My goodness. So
it was quite an explosion of our program, and a very exciting and fast-paced fall trying to catch up and really do all that we needed to do to support families who were making that choice.
So why do you think so many jumped to that? Was it fear of spreading COVID, or was it just they wanted more consistency?
I think a lot of people wanted that consistency and to be able to have some control over what their daily schedule would be. It was a combination, I think, too, of we didn't know exactly what things were going to look like in the classroom or how long we would be virtual district-wide. And so with not knowing what things were going to look like, I think a lot of people chose Homebridge because they knew that, okay, we can just make this choice now and we can know what our school year will look like for our family. So I think that was it was great for people to be able to make that choice.
I know that suddenly going from supporting about 30 or 40 people to, 10 times that number could be a huge challenge. Did parents get a little frustrated, perhaps, in having this new role?
Well, hopefully not too many people got frustrated. We were able to act quickly to bring more people on board to help process all the new folks. It did take us a little bit at the beginning to kind of get caught up. But then I think once we had everybody and all their paperwork on, and then we were able to really continue to support them. Yeah.
So what's ahead for next year for the children? Are you planning on an in-person school over at the alternative school and also at the Montessori school?
Yeah, I think district-wide, we're planning on kind of things getting back to that traditional 5 days a week, full school days, district-wide.
So how about the homeschooling? Will you see as many people, you think, as you did this past year?
I think we'll see some reduction in our homeschool numbers, but I think we'll still have a few that we're anticipating about 150 students maintaining enrollment with Homebridge, and people who did it and liked it and want to continue doing that and found that it was really rewarding for their family. And so we're happy to keep supporting them through that.
So we didn't talk at all about the Montessori school, which has kids, from kindergarten through eighth grade?
We actually have pre-K ages 3 all the way up through 8th grade.
So, that's quite a range. So, and I'm sure different at every grade level, but in general, what did you see there?
Well, one thing that was really exciting at Montessori was we were able to have in-person school all year long with our pre-K and kindergarten students. So we had a group of about 15 who were in school all year long, which was really exciting. And then we had the virtual and then the hybrid and then more in-person for the rest, just like the rest of the neighborhood schools.
I know the kids sounded like they were really glad to go back to school. Usually you hear them kind of grumble, you know, after
they
coming
were very,
back.
Yeah, they were very excited to come back to school. We definitely saw that, you know, we had most of our students were back full time or 4 days a week, full days starting in April. And it was just, kids were super jazzed to be at school. And we really saw that.
So tell me this, what you have a big panorama there in front of you of all those different groups of children. What is your big takeaway from the 2021 school year?
I think that's a good question. And I don't know if I've totally synthesized for myself yet what that big major takeaway is. But I think some of the things I've seen are, you know, students are resilient, kids are resilient, and they were really out of school, out of the school building for a year, from March to March. But they were ready to come back and keep going. Also, learning didn't stop while they were at home, or while they, you know, when they were doing all the virtual work. The learning might have been a little bit different, but I think the kids learned a lot. About themselves, about their families, about their things that they really enjoyed doing. And I don't want to discount those things and those learning experiences being just as important, you know, than as to what we do at school. And so I think when we spend a lot of time talking about the learning loss that might have happened in some academic areas, I don't want to forget the learning experiences that kind of balanced encountered some of that. That was different kind of learning that I think is really important.
Well, hopefully the children will have good memories of adults really trying to help them get through the school year and all the workarounds to try to keep things as normal as possible. Maybe that will stay with kids for years to come. You think?
Yeah, who knows? It'll be really interesting to learn from kids as they get older what it is that they remember from this year and what is sticking with them and what impacts will, you know, be lasting for them, both positive and negative. You know, we're going to see a little bit of both.
So. Yeah, this will probably be in sort of the consciousness of children until the last preschool child graduates, something
definitely
they won't forget. Well, I want to thank you so much for being with us, Kristen. It was nice to kind of get that panorama from all of your experiences. Thanks.
Thank you.